Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I just heard the news today. Seems my life is gonna change. I close my eyes, begin to pray. Then tears.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So I came primarily to advocate for you to vote no, because putting the our faith, the city's faith, your constituents' faith, in a person who has no trust of the people right now as far as his commitment to affordable housing, someone who ghosted Just Pensacola just last year, and then came and essentially told the Just Pensacola congregation, in my opinion, the comments seem to be, I'm doing my best, and if you don't like my methods, I'm sorry, I'm doing my best though. I'm gonna try to do even if you don't agree with my methods. Well, the constituents of the city have a right to have opinions on your methods.
I have to say it's been an interesting evening. I have never had a staff member read an entire summary from a memorandum into the record. I think unprecedented. What is not on this item is all the prior action that's taken place. It's as if we wanted to whitewash it and not put in the reference to Malcolm Young. It's been mentioned tonight. Mr. Young mentioned it. Others in here mentioned it. It's like we just want to put the address.
Charles Baer, City Councilmember Charles Baer, talking about why he opposed the move to give the mayor authority to begin the negotiations on how to dispose of the property that used to hold the Malcolm Young Gym and is now vacant because it's been torn down. And, the particulars of who's going to be eligible to buy or build houses on it, how the land trust is going to work and all of that. And then that's going to come back to city council. Voice you heard before that was Deshaun McKenzie talking about how they don't trust D.C. to be the broker and all this because he's not been, you know, faithful and upright and whatever in the past. I think that D.C. has pretty consistently been trying to work on this problem and doing it in good faith across a wide variety of projects. The problem with this one, of course, is it's still tied up with all the very hurt feelings, and I don't say that dismissively, I mean, you know, serious, that people are very frustrated about how the whole decision to tear down the Malcolm Young Gym went. They're frustrated because they thought it maybe could have been saved, the price tag, maybe they thought it wasn't right, the way it was gotten rid of while they were in the process of trying to organize a referendum to protest against it, this is all kind of in the past now, and so the question becomes, well, what do you do with it now? And, Charlie Dial, one of the people who had come and spoken many times at city council, said, look, if you really do follow through with this and make it into affordable housing, which I don't think you'll do, but if you do...
I will never come to another city council meeting if the Malcolm Young Gym property is replaced by actual affordable housing, like Section 8 or like sub-1,000 a month, like affordable housing. You will never hear from me again. Thank you.
Well, of course, Mayor Reeves responded to that, and I thought quite appropriately.
A comment for the record. Number one, what we're voting on is the most beefed up affordable housing project that's ever existed in the history of the city. Number one. And number two, certainly always welcome to come to any city council meeting just when all these houses are built and they're sold to families that are all qualified for affordable. We'd love to have you come back and celebrate. So thank you for being here.
If we do what you've said, you're still welcome to come back, and rightly so. But he believes it'll work. Charlie Dial and many of the complainants who are against both the demolition and also against this deal with the land now, because they would rather see Malcolm Young Gym be replaced onto that site. That's not going to happen. But that's kind of what I think they want, among other things. They're not persuaded it's going to turn out, and we'll, obviously have to see. Sam Young from Habitat for Humanity was explaining the idea of the community land trust and why it works to make housing prices more affordable on land that is owned not by them, and therefore they don't have to pay a mortgage on that land. And I actually don't know whether they're going to pay property taxes on that land. I think the answer is no, but I'll have to ask the mayor about that in a half hour.
The beauty of the land trust, and you've heard me say this before, is it simultaneously reduces the cost of home ownership because it eliminates the cost of the land. And for the first time, and there are a lot of examples where there was good intent and there was vision, but there is no possibility of maintaining that affordability with any vehicle except for a community land trust.
Yeah, because the land trust makes it possible to not have to pay for the property value, and I think also not have to, so therefore not pay the mortgage on the property, just on the improvements. But also, I think the idea is it gets you out of the property taxes too. Again, I'm not sure about that. I'll have to check, but that's fairly significant. The idea being that people who qualify at, you know, 80% of the mean income of the area, which is 72,000. So if they're at, you know, in the like 55, 56,000 or less a year, half of these properties have to be available to them. And those people would be able to afford them if they're not having to pay the little extra that would come from the land and also from the ad valorem. And it would have to stay that way. So, yeah, the price could go up a little bit, but it wouldn't be able to go up dramatically. And there's all kinds of restrictions on how it could be sold and all of that. So this to me looks like a pretty good deal. This looks like it's not going to make a massive difference. I mean, the property's not that big, but it's been kind of a long, controversial road to get to this particular place. And I appreciated the comments by other city council members as well. We'll get to them in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine right before you hit US 90. And on the US 90 bridge, we're seeing some slowdowns as well, but clearing up whenever you get into Pensacola. Coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you pass the preserve and head on the 3 Mile Bridge into town this morning. Downtown showing a lot of slowdowns, especially building up on 9th Avenue at the intersections of Gregory and Chase. Use some caution driving through there this morning and expect delays. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So the other city council members besides Charles Bear were all in favor of this plan to begin the process of moving the land into the community land trust and then developing affordable housing, or at least some mixture of affordable and maybe less so housing on that property. Jen Brayer.
It's not fair to assess this council's attempt at affordable housing or this mayor's attempt at affordable housing when none of us have attempted this before. This is new grounds. So for all of us up here, this is extremely new grounds.
Because that was kind of the point, is that they were saying that past councils and past mayors have not done a good job. And I mean, accurate, but it sort of became a crisis in the last few years, partially exacerbated by COVID, the need to be at home, the influx of people into Florida at a much higher rate than ever before. That's caused all kinds of problems for us here in this state. You know, some of the benefits too, but also an awful lot of problems. And, you know, it's maybe not fair to blame them. Charles Bear, by the way, for his part, says that he supports the other housing initiatives, just this one in particular he finds problematic. Allison Patton, District 6.
You know, there really aren't too many opportunities or too many ways to create housing other than some sort of subsidy. And in our case, we have some land. We don't have anywhere near enough, in my view, to really do this affordable housing at scale. And this piece of property is something that we can use for that. And so I find it somewhat ironic that all of our affordable housing folks and the people who think that's important are actually against using this property for that purpose.
Yeah, there is a bit of irony in that the Just Pensacola folks, or at least some of them, have come out against this. Now, I think a lot of it is because they were against the Malcolm Young Gym demolition and they didn't want to see that get, which I understand. But if, generally speaking, what you're in favor of is expanding affordable housing in the city, this is expanding affordable housing in the city. And if you say that and then you say no to this, there's some tension there for sure.
Just Pensacola, when they came to us in the first place a couple of years ago, proposed exactly this, a land trust. So I feel like we're actually moving in the direction that so many people wanted us to move in, and yet we're getting criticism because it's easy to criticize. It's hard to do.
I think that comment is on track. Jared Moore?
I took the position that we should not get rid of the gym, save a proposal like the one that's before us were possible. And so this evening I will vote to support this item because I believe it did. It hit the eye of the needle of checking the boxes of the things that would justify the loss of the gym, that there would be sufficient good to justify that difficult decision.
Yeah, and, you know, sort of all of that wrapped up together led to a 6-1 vote. Now, it was also kind of interesting because Mayor Reeves addressed this a little bit yesterday in his press conference. And I actually thought that what he said there was particularly poignant, because he was talking about how we're starting to engage in this parks and amenities study to really figure out what should a city of this size have, where should they have them, where is there a need, what's a need we're not seeing, what are we spending too much on that maybe we should think about, you know, either getting rid of or de-emphasizing or not replacing or whatever. And it's a longish comment, about a minute, but it's worth hearing.
I go off of facts. I don't build an old gym where one was just because one used to be there. That's not fact. What fact is let's look at how many people live here. Let's look at how many people utilize this pool, this community center. And that's what we're in the process of doing. We're going to get our deferred maintenance study, and then ultimately a parks master plan that's going to help us for the first time ever actually have an objective plan moving forward, saying you've got too many of these, not enough of those. And if it says we need 10 community centers, then, you know, me and the next 8 mayors can start working on 10 community centers. And I'm happy to do that. If it calls for another pool and the data suggests it, we'll happily look into that. Because I want to do what's right, and I want to do what is good for our city. But we got to get out of the habit of doing things on a hunch. And because that's how it was. You know, what did they say? The biggest enemy of progress is nostalgia. And so, just because something was doesn't mean it is in 2024.
The biggest enemy of progress is nostalgia. I don't know. I think that's a pretty powerful concept. And I hadn't heard that phrase before, so even though it's well familiar to him, it was new to me, and I thought it's an interesting one to kind of just, you know, keep in mind as we talk about some of these things. 722 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, if you're getting hungry a little bit later on today, you want something yummy for lunch, Pounders Hawaiian Grill is now open in Pensacola at the off of Davis, and kind of adjacent to the University Mall, like right in front of Penny's or the Academy Sports in the old Dickies location. And I'm just telling you, this is my kids' favorite restaurant in the area. We used to go there not all the time, but like when we were in the vicinity, you know, because it was an hour away in Crestview. Well worth the stop. Whenever we were coming back from elsewhere in the state, we'd always stop there and get some teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak, Kahlua pig, with the rice and the macaroni salad, and like affordable for the quality of food that it was. And we would always eat until we could eat no more, not even a Whopper Thin Mint. But man, love the place. So excited. I would always ask them, when are you coming to Pensacola? Seriously, like every time I'd say, hey, the food is great. When are you coming to Pensacola? Well, we're working on it. Now we're here. So they are not open on Sunday or Monday, so they give employees a break on Sunday and Monday. But every other day of the week, Pounders Hawaiian Grill on North Davis Highway.
May is Military Appreciation Month, and Jim's Firearms is proud to honor our military. During the month of May, Jim's Firearms proudly thanks our troops for their hard work, dedication, and commitment to the fight for our freedom. Join Jim's Firearms in saluting the men and women who serve our United States military. Jim's Firearms, on the corner of Blue Angel Parkway and Sorrento Road in Pensacola. Stop by today or visit jimfirearms.net. Jim's Firearms, they truly are the best in town.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
At different times in our lives, we all have problems. Health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But at no point are any of these problems our biggest problem. The biggest problem facing mankind is the sin problem. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't solve everyone's health troubles, although he did help a few. He didn't solve everyone's financial trouble, although he did provide food for some. He didn't solve everyone's relationship problems, although a few were helped in that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he did solve the problem of sin for everyone. He died a substitutionary death in your place and in mine. All we have to do is call upon him for salvation. Jesus is the greatest problem solver in human history.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Finally, monsieur, a wafer thin mint.
Bah.
Oh, sir, it's only a tiny little thin one.
I'm full.
Oh, sir. It's only a wafer thin.
So I kind of jokingly asked on social media, well, 100% 100% jokingly, I said, hey, anybody know when this heat's going to let up? And the answers were what you would expect. November. Fair time. Or, we're not even there yet, sir. You're on the wrong side of that scale. No, I understand. 7:25 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine. That is backed up from the US 90 all the way to that Ace Hardware there on Woodbine Road.
Yeah, man. What if they're coming into, like, Jay from Century?
You know, and that's why I made the distinction. some slowdowns on the US 90 bridge coming into Pensacola from Pace as well. Traffic building up all around downtown this morning in downtown Pensacola. So you expect some delays driving downtown, especially on 9th Avenue with the intersection of Gregory and Chase Street. If you're coming into town from Gulf Breeze or Navarre, now you got me all screwed up. If you're coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, westbound on Highway 98, you can expect to see some traffic building up right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you get under the 3 Mile Bridge and enter Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives. I'm
so sorry, Jimmy. Can you forgive me?
I will try to find it in my heart.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hundreds of thousands of people are without power after severe storms hit northeast Texas. Local authorities there say those outages could last several days after fierce winds knocked down power lines and toppled trees in the Dallas area. President Biden and Vice President Harris are in Philadelphia today for a rare joint campaign appearance as they continue trying to appeal to black voters. Biden and Harris will be joined by Maryland Governor Wes Moore, the third black governor in U.S. history. And I know how much, Andrew, you love spending ridiculous amounts of money on collector's items.
Can't wait to.
So a long-lost John Lennon guitar is expected to go for just over $1 million. I assume pocket change for you. The head of the auction says it's the same guitar.
By the way, I assume by John Lennon guitar, you mean a guitar owned by him, not one in the shape of him.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just checking.
A guitar owned by John Lennon. The head of the auction says it's actually the same guitar that Lennon played the song You've Got to Hide Your Love Away in the movie Help with.
It's a great song.
It was presumed lost for 50 years and recently found in an attic in Britain.
Interesting. All right, very good. 437-1620. By the way, back to our banter on the traffic, Jimmy. You've been here now, what, 3 months? 4 months? 2 months?
A month and a half.
That's it?
Yeah.
Seems longer than that.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I was almost encouraged yesterday when you told me you had almost relaxed enough around me that you would respond to me the way you might at a barmate or at a bandmate. And then you self-censored and you didn't. I thought, oh, we're almost there. Almost there. Oh, somebody texted in a good question, said, what is affordable housing? Good question. In other news, no, because it's like nobody really says. Here.
Well, so I looked it up. I mean,
30% of AMI.
30%, yeah.
Well, 30% of your income.
Yeah. An average income in Pensacola is
$72,000. That's what I'm just telling you.
That's the
current. I know, right? Well, look at how many people are eating out all the time. You know, people have money. They're driving cars that you can't afford. I mean, that's, you know, just is.
I'm reading $38,000 as average income in Pensacola, Florida.
Well, that, you know, 72 might be a two income. I'm not sure.
Didn't
catch which way David
household
meant that
is
the other day.
$67,000.
But okay. So if you have to spend more than 30% of your income on housing, it's not affordable for you. And that's always the idea, is affordable for you. And so if you want to put that into, like, ordinary numbers, you know, and they were talking about 80% AMI. Okay, so that would put you somewhere in the, like, $1,500 a month range if you're making $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somewhere in that vicinity, which is still... God, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for any of us who have been around and renting or owning for a while, the prospect of the cheap end of the spectrum being $1,500 a month is the what? I mean, that's, you know, I think my first apartment was like $400 a month. Mm-hmm. I think it was, you know, that kind of thing. That's sort of like, those are numbers I can digest. So anyway, so yeah, no, good question. And it's always the kind of question that people are reluctant to answer because it seems to be a bit fluid and nobody kind of wants to get pinned down on it. So I appreciate that. I wish I could show you. I guess I could share it to our News Radio Facebook page. I probably won't, though. Jimmy and I could not stop laughing at the babies who got their crying stopped by throwing a piece of cheese on their forehead. Kids crying. there's a piece of cheese on his forehead. David Wayne, can you confirm as a new parent?
I don't know if it works, but I'll tell you tomorrow.
The look of stunned disbelief and shock on the faces of these infants with a pair of piece of American cheese on the forehead. Amazing.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The criminal hush money case against former President Trump in New York today goes to the jury to decide after jury instructions from Judge Juan Merchan.
He basically gives them the legal guidelines that must be used as they sit in judgment of the former president. His instructions lasting about an hour, then they were retired to the jury room for the deliberations.
Fox's Eric Shawn. Around 260 balloons filled with trash and waste from North Korea are landing in South Korea.
The South Korean military warning people not to touch anything that may contain filthy waste. A few days ago, North Korea said it was planning to retaliate against what it called frequent scattering of leaflets and other rubbish by activists from the South.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. One person, a 27-year-old employee, is confirmed to have died in an explosion at a Chase Bank building in Youngstown, Ohio, believed to be caused by natural gas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It's looking like it'll be another warm one today already, 80 degrees in Pensacola with cloudy skies right now. The official start of the Atlantic hurricane season is just days away. Of course, they've been saying there could potentially be historic activity this year. Yesterday, public safety and information officials from both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties held their annual media roundtables to discuss hurricane preparedness with the media.
Every storm is different. Granted, they name storms now. And there are times where I wish that they wouldn't do that because some people say, well, Hurricane Ivan, I made it through Hurricane Ivan and it was Category X or it was this, that, the other thing. Really, when you categorize a storm, it only talks about the wind speed. It doesn't take into account the storm surge. That's the killer.
That's Tom Lloyd, Santa Rosa County's public safety director. And as a reminder, the official motto from the state was changed last year. It's no longer the first 72 is on you, but rather 1 week ready. And starting on June 1st through the 14th, the first Florida sales tax holiday, disaster preparedness tax holiday begins. So you can avoid sales tax on items to get prepared for hurricane season, like flashlights, generators, and pet food. Local massage therapist now facing several accusations of inappropriate behavior during those massage sessions. According to Channel 3, 64-year-old Joseph Long is charged with battery. Six clients have filed reports against him.
We looked at it as a potential sex crime, but it didn't fit the statutory requirements for that. So we were the only crime that we could identify was the battery charge, which again is the unwanted touching of an individual.
Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 that Long is facing four counts of battery. He was arrested May 10th and has since been released on $70,000 bond. Long owns the Waterfall Massage on Nine Mile Road. Six women have come forward with complaints, but one declined to press charges and one was past the statute of limitations. Governor DeSantis has signed a new bill yesterday allowing banks to delay transactions if an employee thinks a senior citizen is being exploited. State Senator Daryl Rowson sponsored SB 556. He says that law is necessary because many people are at an increased risk of financial exploitation because of either age or disability. That new law takes effect on January 1st. And over the Memorial Day weekend, it was another record holiday for the summer travel season.
Obviously extremely busy. 28,583 passengers were screened. That's not incoming passengers. That's just 28,583 that were catching a flight in planements during Memorial Day holiday.
And Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says that means a total of probably around 57,000 total passengers went through the Pensacola International Airport one way or the other. That'd be about a 16% jump from last year's Memorial Day weekend. And he also says that the TSA line waits weren't all that bad either. They peaked at about 32 minutes at one point. It is 7:35 at News Radio, and Jimmy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
My apologies, David. I am wholly unprepared. If you are coming into town from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine still at the intersection of US 90 there. That is backed up all the way to Grace Baptist Church on Farnwood Drive, so expect some delays if you're coming in through Woodbine. Also, some slowdowns on the US 90 bridge coming into Pensacola this morning, but clearing up if you are sticking to 9 Mile or Davis. On Scenic Highway, seeing a lot of traffic building up all the way from the Olive intersection back towards the Pace Bridge, so you can expect some delays if you were traveling southbound on Scenic Highway this morning. A lot of traffic as well on 9th Avenue, all the way down past Cervantes, all the way down to Chase Street and Gregory, so expect some slowdowns there as well. Coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, going westbound on 98, some traffic building up right before Avalon Boulevard, clearing up and then building up again right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you approach the 3 Mile Bridge and clear all the way over the bridge into town. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to see another hot and humid day today with temperatures warming up near 92 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain. We will have highs near 88 degrees, lows Thursday night dropping near 71. For Friday, we are going to keep the mostly sunny skies around with a high near 88 and just a 10% chance of rain. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 79 degrees already this morning in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and seeing 75 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, if you have some spare money around and want to invest in some pop culture items, there's a pair of interesting ones on the market right now. You could own John Lennon's 12-string guitar that was played on the song You've Got to Hide Your Love Away in the movie Help. Bids for that guitar are live on juliansauctions.com as part of its music icon sale, and bids are expected to top $1 million. The guitar was thought to be lost for about a half a century before recently being found in the attic of a home in the British countryside. And if that auction doesn't suit your fancy, or if you prefer investing in real estate, another pop culture item is currently up for sale. Yeah, the McAllister House from the Christmas classic film Home Alone is currently on the market outside of Chicago. The five-bedroom, six-bath Georgian-style home was built in 1921, and it's currently listed on the market for $5.2 million. The real estate firm selling the home calls it a rare opportunity. On Wall Street, stock futures are continuing to point to a lower open, and that is Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Very, very heavy rain here at the radio station. As a matter of fact, I believe our building is even out of power right now.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins me at this time, Mayor of the City of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. All right, I've got to ask you this first, just so that I make sure that I ask you. Milton Mayor, but also Assistant City Attorney Heather Lindsay, resigned from her job just on, I think, actually the resignation letter is dated on Monday. I've read the resignation letter. Of course, the news broke on Friday. We've had a lot of speculation about, you know, did she resign, or I've said, or was she resigned? Question for you, was she encouraged to resign, asked to resign, told to resign, or did it entirely on her own initiative?
Well, you saw her response, her letter. I think it's out in the public, and you know, that's I'm going to let that speak for the thing. As you know, since I've started, you know, we don't get into who's and what's and why's of personnel decisions. I think for a lot of reasons. You know, that our statement is certainly we wish her the best, and we accepted her resignation, and we move forward from there. And you know, I'm really excited what Adam Cobb is doing in the city attorney's office, and you know, I know we'll get a good replacement, and you know, continue to have a great office there that continues to grow and expand and do a great job for us.
Last week at the Pensacola City Council meeting, of course, the first step of what still remains several steps to getting this deal done, to take the property formerly occupied by the Malcolm Young Gym and convert it over into community land trust. And just I have some questions about this. Will the land be administered by Habitat or administered by the city?
So my understanding of the arrangement would be, really, neither of how you just described it.
Okay.
Community Land Trust is a separate 501c3. So, yes, it has been organized up by the people that have Habitat. But, for example, our first actual Community Land Trust project is in partnership with HBA. So, whether that's Habitat or not,
Home Builders
hypothetically,
Association?
You could put land in three scattered sites that we have provided in partnership. And they're so excited about it at HBA, actually, they're talking about, you know, even the regional national level of this being some pilot of saying, hey, here's how the HBA can help, you know, our community. You know, the city can put some dirt in and we put it into a trust to make sure that they're affordable forever. So so there is no rule that says Habitat must build the homes on the community land trust. So understand those are two, even though they're related, of course, by their how they were organized.
Got it.
There is independence between the land trust and Habitat.
Okay.
Now, certainly Habitat is you know, going to be in the business like anybody to build affordable housing, and they've got a long track record of doing as such. So the arrangement's going to ultimately be that we would be donating this land with some clawbacks. Hypothetically, if the land trust went away or in 10 years something crazy happened, we would have the ability to get the property back. So I really look at it almost like a ground lease in a way, you know, even though it will be a donation with callbacks, it ultimately operates the same way.
Okay.
You know, in other words, someone, we couldn't get, you know, a director of the land trust 15 years from now to say, never mind, we just want to do something else with this without the city being able to get its property back or, to, you know, to be compensated as such, those types of things. So, it is the CLT's property. It would be, but it would be with some control over oversight from the city.
And the idea is that anybody would be eligible only if 51% of the properties ultimately developed have to be within the range of 80% of the AMI, and what the rest are supposed to be at between 80 and 120% of the average median income. Is that right?
That's correct. And the why behind that is we like the success of mixed income communities, not all people at 30% live here and all people at 120% live here. We've tried that as a society for decades and it doesn't work. So
can I just pause you because people may not know,
yeah.
The old model of public housing was, you know, these giant projects where you had all the poor people living together. And what we realized at some point is that's not really good for anybody. It's much better to have, you know, moderate or even upper income living in and amongst and with mixed income. And that's, you know, that has worked in various places. And people who may not know may not kind of get the reference. So go ahead.
And within the affordability scale, this particular project you're speaking of, we look at as workforce housing. If you look at 80% AMI and what that pays for one person, we're talking about new teachers. We're talking about brand new firefighters. We're talking about not even someone who's been there at the fire department for 6-7 years probably wouldn't qualify at 80%, maybe at 100. But
But that's what we're looking for in this particular project. And in at Motor Lodge, we're looking for something else. And in the scattered sites, we're looking for something else. And at Baptist, we're looking for something else. So, you know, there can be a lot. Anytime you do something new, Andrew, like this is the first time that we'll ever right. be able to say that these will stay affordable for 100 years. I get it. Like, I don't take it personally when people say, well, I don't trust you, you know, because it hasn't happened, you know, and we'll just, we're going to live by the results that, you know, we're going to walk the walk. So, you know, we understand that the first one's going to be the most difficult and we have to build the public trust that we are going to respect the character of the neighborhood. We are going to create workforce affordability and we're going to do what we say we're going to do. So, so we're excited for this project, and it's no one, as I said in my press conference yesterday, finding one citizen in the city of Pensacola that says we have too much housing and it's too affordable.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find someone
that says that, you know.
And I get the criticism that people have been burned in the past too. I mean, I get that they look at, you know, properties like the Hawthorne property, you know, or whatever. There's sort of bad history in some of this.
That's why I don't take it personal, because I get that. I get that. I mean, you know, you want to be able to trust your government. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't. So. I expect that, and what we hope is that this goes as well as we think it will go, and we start to build the public trust and start to really do this at scale.
Just a technical question I got asked, and I didn't know the answer. Obviously, there won't be any price for the land and the price of the house. That's part of the reason it becomes more affordable. But what about the property taxes? I'm assuming they're going to pay property tax on the improvements, but I'm also figuring that they won't be paying property tax on the land slice of the value because that's in the CLT.
And I'm going to speculate, which is always unsafe, but I'm going to speculate and agree with you on that. I would assume that the donation of the dirt to the trust makes that a non-taxable asset, because who would pay the tax? I mean, it would be the trust ultimately would be responsible, because the homeowner wouldn't, in this format, wouldn't be responsible. I would also speculate and say that there's going to be some property tax on the improvement. So that affordable homeowner, you know, qualified homeowner would be able to, would probably get a property tax bill that would be incremental compared to what it would be, because it may only be on the house. But again, that's just logic talking that, you know, I'll look deeper
into
that.
Obviously
that hasn't been our primary concern, but it'd be interesting to know for sure.
Yeah, me too. And I'm curious to know what the county and the school board have to say about all that, because the city can only speak for itself. So I'm curious how that's going to shake out. Sure. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. We got traffic on the fives with Jimmy.
If you are heading on Davis Highway, heading northbound from downtown, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before East Jordan Street, going back all the way to Cervantes. A lot of slowdowns just scattered around downtown this morning, especially on 9th Avenue at the intersections of Chase and Gregory Street. And if you're coming in from Pace or Milton, we are seeing a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine Road, going all the way back to that Ace Hardware from US 90, but clearing up as you get on the bridge this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. My wife and I paddleboarded down Bayou Tahar out to the old fishing bridge next to the current 3-mile bridge over the weekend. And, you know, I actually called you because I couldn't get anybody else. I tried going to the chain of command. I tried getting everybody on Saturday, because when we parked in the Cervantes boat ramp in a car, it was not clear to me whether I was supposed to pay or not pay. It was $5 flat rate. I know the trailers are there paying. But you and I had a conversation about this that I found kind of interesting. We are charging people to park cars in the boat ramp areas. Is that right, generally?
Yeah. So let me be clear, because we make a lot of parking changes, then people hear about parking changes and assume that means we made them. That this has been the rule for I don't know how long. This is not some new rule instituted by administration. I've never set the rules or changed them for the boat ramps or the cost. That has all stayed the same since I've been in office. But yes, ultimately the discussion is there can be single car uses of the boat ramp. Is the argument, you know, is that, you know, hey, whether it's kayaks on top or paddle boards or whatever, that's still use of the boat ramp. Now, what I believe we can do a better job of at the city is making that crystal clear, like to your point. You know, I think the logic makes sense. I think people just, and by the way, you know, if you get one for an entire year, you know, if you're going to use it for $5 every time, you know, it's very, very, very affordable to do it for the entire year. But ultimately, you know, we have the boat ramp has spaces not for regular parking. It's the intent of those spaces is for people to be using the ramp. But can we make that more clear? I think that's kind of the challenge in front of us. You know, whether, as I've mentioned to our folks, do we, whether that means the stripes are red or whether that means, because we're actually getting, that's the first time I've heard this confusion on the other side of the bayou, the most confusion we've had at Bayview, because it looks like regular spaces and the
right.
playground is in proximity. So you don't really have that on the other side. It's really, there's kind of a boat ramp or nothing. So, you know, that those are things that we're looking at to make sure signage is accurate and very, you know, something that you can see. But I just want to be clear, you know, because as I said, if you say P-A-R-K-I-N-G around, you know, then everyone thinks it's something I'm doing or something that's new, you know, it must be me. I have never instituted or changed that I'm aware of that any policy as it pertains to the boat ramps. And so that it could go back multiple mayors, multiple decades for all I know.
Will not surprise you. I dropped off the paddleboard of my wife and I went and parked on the street for free and walked back, which should not surprise you at all. But the other thing, and it did make me think about this, is, you know, we used to go volunteer with Ocean Hour a lot, and they use those spaces on a Saturday morning for their cleanups. But if they're paying, now you have, you know, you may not have to carve out for Ocean Hour particularly, but that's what I thought of is, oh, well, I guess they can't clean that boat ramp unless they're willing to pay now. You know, it's kind of a challenge.
Well,
right?
Of course. I mean, as you know, there's a million scenarios, whether it's parades, whether it's all those things where, you know, we would be making exceptions for the good of the community. Those types of things, of course, would be on the table.
The last thing we always like to end with a lightning round, fast questions for you. This time, I have a simple one, but this is not so simple.
Okay.
I give you a piece of pizza. Let's imagine that it's a medium to thin crust. Okay. So you're not dealing with the big, thick crust.
Okay.
How do you eat that piece of pizza? Tell me where you start, how you do it.
I don't know. I didn't even think there was really some other way. I think you just
tip
you
first,
the,
crust
the
first,
I mean,
fold in half, stack.
No. I'm just picking it up and starting at the bottom. I don't know. I mean, I think, is there something that I'm missing? That
Well, we had enjoyable? A conversation about whether starting with the crust is a, you know, maybe a better way because you can get the bad part over with first.
I don't trust people that start with the crust.
Okay,
I mean, that's,
fair,
you know, enough. I don't know.
We'll still try to make a relationship.
I'm just a traditional pizza eater, man. I'm a boring guy.
Something, tell me something that your grandmother always had in her purse.
Oh, man. Well, I think my mom's mom would definitely be like a sewing kit. She was like the one that was like always, you know, like jumping,
fixing the rip.
I loved it when I was a kid because she would iron. She would love to like iron my shirt when I came back from college, like that kind of grandma. So, she was always at the ready to fix something. Yeah.
And when you make purchases, you're a little bit younger than I am. When you make purchases, do you make a distinction between the size of the purchase and whether you do it on your phone or your laptop?
You know what? I've never thought of that, but I think I do. If we're talking a real serious purchase, then I need a larger screen. Does that make me old?
No, we've had several people say that same thing. They never thought about it until that question. Then they're like, oh my God, I'll order a pizza on my phone, but if I'm going to order a car, I got to order it on my laptop. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been in my subconscious, taking it out into my conscious. Yeah. If it's a big purchase, I need to see the full screen. I need to see everything.
I love it. That's fantastic. Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, look forward to talking to you again next week. As always, thank you for the time. I know we don't have any details on the recycling plan yet. You announced yesterday that you're in negotiations with Adams, and, you know, we'll see. And I know a lot of that is just a kind of we're going to have to wait and see. So just for people who may not have heard the reporting on that, that is still in the offing in the near future. And it'll be, you know, several months
Absolutely.
Of lead time before that actually gets put into place. Mr. Mayor, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
7:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500. to 41,793, or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Beat more imports. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Is that the way you say it? That's a bingo?
You just say bingo.
You just say bingo. 7:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Good morning. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are coming into Pensacola going westbound on 98, you can expect to see, or from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you head towards the 3 Mile Bridge and clear over the bridge into town. Pace and Milton on US 90, we are still seeing some traffic backing up on Woodbine at the intersection of US 90 and a little bit of a slowdown on the bridge this morning coming into Pensacola, the US 90 bridge, that is. So expect some delays there, but clear once you get into Pensacola. No major slowdowns or buildups on Blue Angel Parkway or Gulf Beach Highway if you are coming in from Perdido this morning as well. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This report is brought to you by Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is here. Save up to $500 on select adjustable beds. Bed sets like the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection. Plus, get a $300 instant gift for pillows and more. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the five.
So emphatic.
It's very emphatic.
Good. Well done.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like I have to. Like, you've commanded me.
Yeah. Better
the
go.
The voice of the Bene Gesserit or something. Come on. What percent of people got that reference? I don't know. A lot of Dune fans out there. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Harvey Weinstein is back in court today for a pretrial hearing. Prosecutors looking for a retrial on rape and sexual assault charges after a conviction earlier this year was vacated by New York's Court of Appeals. Harvard has adopted a new policy of not commenting publicly on issues that are not related to the school's core function. That policy established after months of controversy and protests related to the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. And officials are expected to hold a security briefing today after a terror threat to the Cricket World Cup on New York's Long Island. These fans say they aren't going to be deterred.
Nothing going to prevent me from coming to cricket. That's my life now.
I would come because I'm going to put the trust on our security forces.
Apparently,
they did not go find the Indian guys for the Cricket World Cup audio
Apparently they did. There's apparently a pro-ISIS image circulating online that urges violence, but thousands of people are expected to attend the matches.
I just can't. Oh, man. Way to lean into the typecasting. I have nothing. I got nothing to say about all of that. Oh, homeschooler vouchers are going up twice again this year and third next time for the voucher.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.